it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Why are we doing this?
For the love of the game, mate.
For the love of rugby. In today's episode, kits.
Our favourite shirts, how boot deals work, and why Coley doesn't wear a scrum cap.
And when skin tight is too tight.
How are you, mate?
Come see, come saw. A lot of potholes on the way. You know when it's like you see a pothole, then you see a car coming in the direction, it's that debate of do I brake or do I... Oh, I've just gone through it. I hope I haven't smashed my wheel in. But yeah, that was it today. That was it. Just potholes. But no, apart from that, very well.
Potholes is also, which will be interesting for the listeners, is a term that rugby players use for, let's say, a really annoying fan or supporter or anything. So you'd say, watch out, there's a pothole over there. And it's just giving the guy the heads up that if you go over there, that fan's going to chew your ear off.
There's one player I played with who captained Wales and was on Lions tours, and he would actively seek out those fans. And they would avoid him by the end of the tour.
Today, we're going to talk everything regarding kit, because I know it kind of interests a lot of people.
Okay. A, we'd, one, be running around naked if we didn't have kit. And two, how do you tell the teams apart?
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Because you're colourblind, right?
I'm colourblind, yeah. Red, green. But not too badly that I can't see the difference between, like, Wales and Ireland. But I know there are some people that can't.
Ant Watson's the same. He's the same.
Kits, and they have the technology involved in them from where, like, I probably got the, when I was, like, 16, the good old heavy fashioned cotton shirt like you used to play in that just absorbed water, was cold, and then now you've sort of, it's these skin tight, there's grippy stuff on them, there's all kinds of different technology involved that we can go into. But yes, the evolution of the kit,
the spray on,
yeah. And as you see from some of the kits behind, which are kits we've actually brought in,
we have
from different parts of our career, we've got kits that we've swapped. So if there's any listeners out there that would like to have their shirt or their kit or their club kit or something behind us,
yep,
feel free and we will try and trade you some training gear.
What was the iconic kits that we both enjoyed growing up? Like, what was your first shirt that you ever got as a kid?
I think the first shirt I ever got was a Lions shirt. So it must have been about... But I didn't play top playing rugby until I was like 13, 14. So that would have been like 2000s.
What did you do before?
I was just a man of the world.
Did you do sport before?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Look at me, I'm an athlete.
Yeah, I know, you're a phenomenal athlete.
Sportsman, yeah. I play football, basically. Long story short, I used to play football from a village team in school, and then changed to high school. I didn't get in the school football team. We did rugby in PE, and they said, try for the school rugby team. I did, duck to water. I haven't looked back since.
There we are. So your first rugby shirt was a Lions shirt in 2001, maybe?
What would have been on the front of that?
NTL. It's a good memory, that, isn't
it? I think it might have been an England shirt, because I think I definitely remember the Lions shirt.
BT Cellnet.
It might have been actually the end of BT Cellnet, yeah. But it was like the sort of cotton.
Yeah.
But I used to love that. I used to, for Christmas, I used to get, basically, for every Christmas, I'd get, my main present was like, it used to be an Arsenal, when I played football, it was an Arsenal football shirt, and they used to alternate home and away shirts, so I get a red one, yellow one, all that kind of stuff. And I got into rugby, and I used to get the England rugby shirt every year, which was, well, it was the highlight of my Christmas.
So that was the first jersey?
I think it was the first jersey, yeah.
I had a Toulouse jersey, the like Nike one, the cool, it was, yeah, a cool shirt.
Yeah.
So I had that, which was wicked. But before that, I had, do you know what, I was quite a little bit of a shirt collector, actually. I like my Super Rugby shirts.
Yes.
Do you know what, it was just an easy present. I think my parents, it was just an easy thing to get, yeah, to it. Give them a rugby top, it'd be fine. So I had a few.
I always like the Leicester one, obviously from Leicester for the thing, like the iconic sort of Martin Johnson in the hoops, the green hoops. They're not stripes, they're hoops. So they go around the body. That's what I learned. But I also used to, when we first turned up in the academy, we got given shirts to train in. Like literally it's like some old kit, front on the floor, like wear this. It wasn't like a kit, but I had a blue like gold star shirt that was a former first team one. I was about 15. It was about 10 sizes too big for me, but it was like, what, you trained in at the academy? And it was brilliant. And it's somewhere in the house. I'm going to find it somewhere. But that was the year of like iconic rugby shirts for me. Like I remember Super Rugby. They used to have Ford on the front of them.
Yeah,
like,
it just depends. Yeah. When you're a kid, you're just influenced by who's good. I think I had like the Hurricanes because there was Christian Cullen there, Jonah Lomu, obviously.
Yeah.
So that was, I had a Hurricanes, which was bright yellow.
Do you remember like Stade Francais classic when they started wearing pink and like having like lightning bolts? They were like a massive change in, I never had one, but they was like an iconic, that is different.
England kits is, they're pretty similar.
There's a theme.
They did have a red one for the away one year, and I quite enjoyed that one.
Yep.
There's a really cool England one that you've got here today. Was it the 100 and...
It was a centre, 100 games. It was 100, I think it was the 100th year of England Wales, something like that. It was my first ever game, and it was like a special one-off shirt. The only problem is, I didn't want to kick off too much of a fuss. What size is it? Like an extra large or a large?
XL.
XL, yeah. It should be a 2XL, but I didn't, at the time, I didn't say anything to the kit man, and it's it was too tight. I'm not going to lie, Ben. But I didn't feel like I had the power to change my kit, so it's a great kit. Best on the hanger rather than the body.
England, we get two shirts per match.
Yeah.
But actually, at club level, it might surprise a lot of people, but actually, we just get
a shirt for the season until it like rips or tears off you, and then you might get another one. But yeah, international level, I say, you get, probably because they don't want to clean 23 white jerseys times two every week. You get a new kit and it also looks brilliant.
But the club stuff, so you basically get your European one and you also get your home one. You probably get two or three a year. One goes into your sponsor at the end of the year and then, yep, you obviously keep one and stuff. So swapping jerseys actually with club team doesn't happen, does it?
It's a big, fairly big no-no, yeah, because I have also on the rail behind you is when we played South Africa. Isn't the Autumn International thing? Leicester played South Africa in a one-off game to open up the new Caterpillar stand that just been built. Everyone was swapping shirts after the game and the kit man was losing his shit. It's like, I'm not gonna, like, the kit man's like, yeah, we gotta, like, literally trying to get the shirt off your back to put it in the thing and like back in his like bag to try and take it away from you. But I see you've also got the you swapped.
I swapped as well. Ruan Pina.
A quality swap,
that.
I wonder, so
that,
if he's still got your Leicester shirt.
Who knows?
We should ring him up, find out. Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of it. But yeah, that was a significant night.
You goal kicked that night.
I did goal kick that night, yes.
It was a brilliant game.
With the kit at England, the kit man will basically sit down with you and go, right, what do you want to warm up in? Do you want you obviously have your warm up top, but do you want, what size do you want in?
Yeah.
Do you want a warm up waterproof?
Yes.
And you'd say yes or no. What size? Do you have skins? So would you like long skin? Yes.
Like
no.
Undershirt.
Undershirt. Yep. Would you like a short version of it? Yes or no. Would you like a vest version of it? Yes or no. Would you like undershorts? They do anything from socks. You can basically have socks that are full length, quarter length, or literally ankle socks.
Yeah.
You can have socks with grips at the bottom of them. Everything's covered, isn't
it? Yeah. Basically, the kit manufacturer wants their kit on display. So, and a lot of players, obviously previously, have probably worn different coloured, like, undershorts, and it's a potential clash of sponsorships, you know what I mean? So
brands.
I think, like, brands. So the kit manufacturer basically offers, because so people have different, some people want to wear, like, a vest or a long sleeve shirt. They offer everything they can to basically make sure the brand is on point. And as you say, even down to the socks, like, there used to be a certain ankle sock that was worn to help reduce bliss and grip the sock, whereas now kit manufacturers integrate them into their own socks so they can't be seen.
When you needed more kit, essentially underneath the main training facility, isn't there? There's this like cubby hole and it's just full of socks,
shorts. The Undercroft.
The Undercroft is full of socks, hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, like you name it, it's there. And it's not, you don't go in there and grab what you want. It's not a free-for-all. But Jamie, the kit man, does an awesome job. And if you ever short or you need a different size hoodie, if you need anything like that, it is just sorted. Like you don't ever have to worry about that.
Whereas in the club world, sometimes the kit man can be a little more
precious
regarding your kit. I've currently got one pair of white socks with Leicester, which is fine, one pair of white socks a match day. Not so fine when you've got to travel the day before on a flight in those socks and wear them the next day for the team stuff and then come home in them.
Kit men are quite unique characters.
Yes.
And some of them are like squirrels.
Hoarders.
They hoard it. They hoard all the kit. And at the end of the year, they're like, we're going to donate all this kit. You know, and they're great. They're going to donate it to a great cause, charity, a team maybe in Fiji and things. Would have been known to do all that sort of stuff and give away boots. And you're like, well, hang on a minute. So you give away all that kit, yet when I just needed a T-shirt, you couldn't give it to me. And you've got 100 sat right here.
Previous kit man is basically like, you ask for a T-shirt, another gym T-shirt, because, like, again, you wear one for weights in the morning, it gets sweaty, you then don't have anything else to wear for the rest of the day, so you basically have to take that off and wear and make a vest. I think we've got better, but there's one point you had like one T-shirt and it gets washed every other day. You know what I mean? It's pretty... So I asked him for another T-shirt. No, can't do it. Then I literally got to the end of the, like, about 3 weeks before the end of the season. I'm like, honestly, this T-shirt has disintegrated. Can I get another one? He's like, yeah, no problem. Follow him. There's 300 of these.
I know, right? Honestly,
you open up like the container, there's 300. What are you doing with them? He's like, well, just in case someone needs a spare one. I'm like, I needed a spare one 6 months ago, and there's still be 299 left.
We've been treated so well at England.
And spoiled.
We're spoiled at England. Yeah. You basically, when you arrive, and then your kit's there.
We moan because you take it all home and it's stuck in your garage.
Yeah, you're stuck in your garage. But you arrive, your kit's all there ready for you. You basically unzip it for people that want to know. There's a checklist of everything that should be in there.
Yeah.
Big, like, two-sided piece of paper. And you just go through everything to make sure you got... If there's anything that's not in there, you tell them. If there's you need more of, you tell them. Like, everything's done. So you get too much kit at England. Then you go back to your club where you get nothing. There's nothing in between.
But I used to, with England as well, is like, I used to get the kit and you used to, like, once upon a time, when you first turn up, it's like, I'll make sure everything fits. I'll try on every pair of... Everything this is this. Now it's basically... It's a need-to-wear basis. You know what I mean? It's like, you need to be in this kit here. It's like, right, I'll take that out and I'll put that on. And I'll just, you know, it's a pair of shorts and this is the T-shirt I need to be in for meetings, right? And then you take out the second one and you just use it on rotation. And I reckon there's stuff in my kit bags now that I haven't touched because it's like the coats and the overcoats is like, I'll get to them at some point, but I'll just leave them where they are because they're nicely folded and packed. I'll leave them there.
And never touch them.
Never touch them.
At the end of the seasons, actually, even or at the end of like a Six Nations campaign or autumn, we actually normally get a big cardboard box, don't we? And we fill it with boots, so...
Some boys have got links to the Pacific Islands and say, can we take this stuff back and donate it? And boys are more than willing and generous, so it does go to a good cause. Talking of boots, I have a few questions, but first let's go to the ads.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Now we're back from the ads. It's actually quite a nice segue because I want to talk about boot deals.
What do you want to know?
What do I want to know? I want to know cash, money, leather. how many boots have been sold in the back of you wearing them? That's what I want to know. So talk to us. You obviously are sponsored boots. Have you always been Adidas?
Yeah, Adidas have been, like, honestly, I can't speak highly enough of them. They've been class. So I went with Adidas when I was 17. I signed with Adidas. My first deal with Adidas was 17. How it works, I mean, essentially,
do they send you kit?
They just send you kit. Boots, trainers, if you need it.
Do you actually get to select anything?
Yes.
I pretend I don't know. Obviously, I've had loads of deals in my time, Ben. So I'm going to ask this from a person that's never had a boot deal.
So, yeah.
Myself, basically.
You get, whenever, obviously, the boots come out quite regularly now.
Yeah.
About every three, they have like sort of three seasonal launches. You get prototypes of them. They'll be sent to you. You wear them just to see it. Again, actually, they want feedback. What do you want? Do you need to change? They'll do anything in terms of even like lasering your feet to make sure you get the perfect mold to doing all that sort of stuff. So they're extremely, they want you to wear them and be comfortable. So they'll send them out, and then you feedback if there's anything, if you need slight adjustments, they'll make the adjustments. And then when the actual new color or new product launches, you obviously sent them probably about, I don't know, a week or so in advance. But yeah, I've been with them my whole career, and I'm still with them now. So
casual wear.
Again, they'll send on what you request. You can go do store visits. I've been lucky enough to do store visits where you essentially go down to London and you go into the store in there, and there's a good amount of
money
credit,
yes,
behind the till for you to go and do. That's always a good fun one, actually. I've actually done it a few times where I've either gone with my wife, or I've taken, I don't know, a cousin with me or someone anyway, and they've
or
come.
Or a mate that needs some gear.
Or next time, Goldie.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Do you get a personal shopper, or do they just leave you to it?
Do you know what? It always feels a bit awkward if someone's like, I'm just not that guy to do that. So I kind of head down, just sort of, I know where I need to go, speak to the person, and then off I go and
get what you need to
sort of tell them. But yeah, they can't be more helpful. And then if you ever need like kit or things like that, then they do supply me with a card, an Adidas card, which I just go online and
purchase T Hearts.
I feel a bit describing this. I feel like what's the word?
Spoiled.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, well, that's how you're coming across. So we'll
but enough about me. One thing we should know is like positionals, like guys. Essentially, boot deals and deals like that.
I think a lot of it
is position dependent.
It's position dependent. It's if you're marketable, but also like once upon a time, it's like if you're a goal kicker, obviously, there might be a lot of shots on TV of your feet kicking the ball, or you know, like the artistic shots of like. Whereas when you're at a tight head, no one cares. You know what I mean? They're not showing pictures of your feet. It's more the face that makes the money around here.
Too right.
the face and the breathed in, the sucked in stomach. It's a sore subject for me, Ben. And honestly, boot deals. I had one when I first got into England, and it was brilliant. Then, obviously, didn't read the commercial contract. I had to do an appearance, which they made me do some sprinting with a well-known English sprinter. It's actually, I'm tearing up thinking of it now, whilst wearing skin-tight clothes. And unfortunately, I'm not the most mobile guy in the world. So when they're making me do high knees with this bloke, I can't watch it. I still, it's 15 years ago, and I'm still like traumatized by the whole thing. I don't think it did rugby much credit, this video. But anyway, so I, as you've seen it multiple times.
And I love it.
That scared me. But I did have a, basically, I think once I found a pair of boots that I was comfortable in, because obviously, like, you're running around. For me, you can wear different studs. I literally front row 21 mil studs where the ground's rock hard, soft, 4G, whatever. You just wear the same studs. So you want to find a pair of boots that's comfortable. And sometimes when you're slightly, I mean, it's a bit noisy, but heavier, you need a pair of boots that will absorb your weight and help out the joints, put it that way, especially older. So I have a pair of boots. I was sponsored by Asics for a bit, and they told me they're pulling out of Europe. So I basically ordered every pair of this one boot I could get in size 11, which is my size. And it's currently now on a race between what's going to finish first, the boots or my career. Because I'm down to about the final like three pairs. They last a long time. They're great boots.
Tight.
It's tight. And this is the thing. I'm now dragging it out. So I'm now like wondering, how do I extend my... And also it's going to be the come to the point where it's like, if I run out of boots, is it just... Am I done? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't wear another boot.
What do you do next? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's a... Not race against time, but just dragging it out.
Boots is an interesting one, because a lot of people ask after games, you know, people go, oh, can I have your shirt, can you have your thing? A lot of people go, can I have your boots?
But I also stick mine on. Like you were saying about grip socks and stuff like that earlier. It's a trick I learned earlier in my career. It's like, you know, you have like the sticky spray. I spray that onto my socks. The kit man hates me because it ruins the socks, but I spray that onto my socks and then like glue my feet into my boots so I don't get blisters. I don't run around.
I'll tell you a little quick story about Adidas, just to, because they have been an awesome sponsor to me, is... 2017, obviously, I was set to go to the Lions, but pulled out for personal reasons. And actually, I had a bonus. If I got selected, then I got a bonus from Adidas. And being absolute stars that they are, they rang me up and said, look, we're still going to honour you the bonus. We want to give it to you, and I want you to have that and maybe do something with the family, with everyone. So that was a class act from them. They have been amazing to me. And
is this a special pair of boots? We should mention them as we're here.
They are. So Adidas do... Essentially, if you get certain milestones, they'll always send you like something to wear to mark the occasion. So these boots are the ones I wore when I got my 100th cap, totally custom. So white, they're actually gold studs, but obviously I wore these ones and they sent me about four pairs. So I've got a fair few in the box still. So white, red, got 100 caps on the back in gold with the England logo. And then on the inside, it's got my daughter's name, and the other boot, it's got my son's name, and the third wasn't born at that point.
Okay,
so
good. I was going
to
ask.
I was going to give a pair to them all when they're older, but I might have to explain that one.
Very nice touch. Today, getting some of these out, it was quite nice looking through your shirts and going like, I remember when this, or what happened in this game? Do I have that shirt? Yes, I do. But like, there's so many like different. It's like I've got one there from Julio Montoya, you know, from the club at Argentina, that opening game of the World Cup. Like, you know, you play against your friend, your opponent, and it's always going to be, it's like a quite a nice reference point in the history of 2023 World Cup opening game. You know what I mean? It's those kind of, they're almost like bookmarks, I'd say, in your career when you look at a shirt and go, boom, and then remember what happened and the person you're playing with and that kind of stuff.
So let's talk about the, transition from those old shirts that we knew growing up, playing our schoolboy rugby, playing our Sunday rugby, and I suppose even the beginning of our academy. But I suppose 2003 was really when the first...
Clive Woodward came in and decided... I read somewhere that he wanted to have like a all-in-one bodysuit to make it very hard to tackle, but that was disallowed because I think somewhere in the law book of rugby is you have to have a separate like sock, short shirt.
Okay.
There's literally, I think there's kit standards, but yeah, that was the first time I think kits have became skin tight and more modern, as we say. I think it started at international level and it was like a proper new technology. I mean, it took a few years to filter down to like club level, but now it's everywhere, isn't it, really?
Everyone's skin tight now.
Which has its pros and cons.
Let's go for pros first.
Really hard to tackle.
Hard to grab hold of people.
Yes.
Very hard to grab hold of people.
Cons, you have to spend the entire game breathing in. I've yet to breathe out in an international game. It's just constantly like sucking it in, sucking in the darb. That's a disadvantage.
A lot of them have grip now as well, so a lot of people won't know, but our shirts, some of them have grip around the chest and
I don't know what it's like, a rubbery kind of
rubbery feel to it,
which obviously, so in the wet, I know the shorts, we haven't got any shorts here, but
they do
have like a chamois something on the side, don't they, so you can actually dry your hands, so you can rub, you got somewhere to rub your hands and dry your hands in
they
the game
do,
but
yeah.
I say a lot of the shirts have they're either a grippy basically, so when you catch the ball it sticks, supposedly,
which is kind of counterproductive because we're taught,
you're taught to caught your hand,
caught with your hands, not on your chest,
rather than on your chest, but it's just a backup,
I suppose, as well. Like the short stuff is something a lot of people wouldn't know about, having that on the side, just to, but do lads use that? I don't know.
I don't use my hands, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, true. When it's wet, to be fair, when it's wet, it's, you're into it anyway, and you're so used to playing in the wet.
But there's also like, you hear stuff like with England, especially, they had different designs. Like, I remember the back of the socks was supposed to be, so if you made a line break, when you make a line break, I'm trailing you, you're easy to pick up. They would try these really like quirky things, and like it's supposed to as well. But I think the front of the socks would like a different pattern to basically break up the eye line, but like camouflage. So you didn't know where the person's legs were when they're running, so they'd be harder to tackle. But like this, I think there's like, they've got into that level of in-depth technology in the, and obviously it didn't really work because I'm pretty sure everyone's gone back to sort of standard solid blue socks.
Companies that design the shirts and do the shirts would actually come in with prototypes.
Yes, for us to test in training about how it fit, how it looks. Are we comfortable with even like certain neck designs and like
And chest and all chest that and around
where,
it.
Where the grip stuff was.
We train with them, let's say.
We normally have more of a say in the sort of the structure of the shirt. I've never think I've had to just...
Not
in
design.
The actual design.
Yeah,
if
no.
it was me...
Yeah.
Yeah, just a simple white shirt, please. Or like club level, just something that's not too fancy. Be very plain, my shirt. But like the actual components of it, companies are fairly good at coming in and saying like, how do we do this and change that?
And they'd do that almost ahead of the next season shirt.
Yes.
So it's like ahead of schedule. With the prototypes, you train it a couple of times and then you'd have this sort of like form that you just fill out and you tick and you'd rate it out. I think I believe it was like 1 out of 5 and you'd rate basically how, you know, comfort, movement. Are you restricted? Where does it feel baggy?
Tight, stomach.
Love handles. All those areas.
It almost be like a year in advance. So like, oh, we've made all these changes to the shirt that you requested. And then you wouldn't remember, and you just have to blag your way through it. Would you be like, oh yeah, no, I really thought about that design around the neck.
Well, they do it in November, and then you actually wouldn't wear it until the following November,
correct.
So you wouldn't actually know.
There's not been any real revolutions in kit, apart from like 03, I think, where it sort of took off in regards to that skin-tight design. It's not like, oh, wear this crop top.
Do you reckon there would be vests?
Someone must have tried it, surely.
Yeah. But are you almost, I was saying, like, you know how fashion goes full circle, right?
Yeah.
There's no way those baggy tops are ever coming back. Like, fashion goes full circle, they say.
No,
but there's no way
I don't think so.
The baggy cotton thick shirt is ever coming back.
Weighing 10 kilos heavier than when you first started.
Yeah, no way.
The only gripe I have now is for some of the shirts is, you know when you come in at half time, so you've sweated, you've been running around, you're warm, and then especially in January, you like run back out at half time, the wind blows, you freeze your nether regions off. It's like...
Cuts you in half.
Just kick off. Let's just run into something. That's my only gripe with kits now.
Kit launch events. Essentially, what would happen is you have commercial appearances in camp.
Yeah. It's like a top secret photo shoot. I've never been invited, but like they go like four or five guys, don't they? They like sort of pick four or five members of the squad and say, this is the shirt, do a photo shoot. So they have stuff to, when they launch it, they have like photos and imagery to use.
I remember doing a look kit launch, right? And we're in this studio. Everything in there was white, like walls were white, back was white. It was so bright as well. Like everything was white. And obviously we're in the white kit and they got us to run across and they were like snapping pictures as you're running. So you like, you basically had the kit on and a makeup artist like covered you in like, well, basically sprayed you with water to make it look like sweat, put mud on you. Like I'm playing.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're like, right, go. And you had to run across and someone's snapping it. Boom, 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 boom. But because it was so white, I couldn't really see how far the wall was. So I'm reckoning this space was like 15 meters, maybe 20 meters. And I've ran across and I know this sounds ridiculous, right? But it's so bright. I couldn't tell how, like the distance. Yeah. And I knew it was close. So like I slowed up and then almost like had a bit of a ramp how it finished. And I've put my hand out and oh my God, mate, my wrist.
I broke your wrist.
That broke my wrist. I remember thinking like, shit, I've like,
imagine
I've myself here. Mate, it was so, I couldn't report it. I couldn't send it. It's like, honestly, heads would roll for it. So, it was so
sore. Those ones where you have to like, just go through it the next time you get on the training field. It's like,
collapse. Yeah. Oh my God.
I slipped. Yeah. My wrist.
I remember doing that and that was an experience. I remember hitting it and thinking, oh my God, I've just literally, my wrist is, I've really fucked my left wrist here.
It reached quite a recent edition. I think his name's on the back. We've got lots of England shirts, so we didn't have anything, did we?
No. So for years, we just had numbers. And a Leicester traditionally was obviously letters. Which hasn't lost a tradition because we still have a small letter below the logo, right, on each of our shirt. But the letters was a big thing at the club.
Because the ABC club was the front row of 1, 2, 3. But Bristol had it the other way around, didn't they? Like they used to have letters, but A was 15 and B was 14.
Yeah. And I don't know when they phased that out, though.
I think they phased it out when the Premiership sort of took hold, because I think it literally was, that's when they standardised numbers for everyone. I think, so it was obviously before our, like we started playing, but I think it was in the Premiership, probably when the game turned professional in some regards, it probably switched.
I'd love to know if there's an amateur club out there that's still playing with letters. And if there is, get in touch.
Yeah.
Best looking rugby shirt of all time.
Oh, Ben. There are lots of classic, like you think about the All Blacks as the classic.
Yeah.
Like the Italian shirt is traditionally very smart.
France do good shirts.
Like I think I used to love the Italian one, probably in about 2010. Do you remember it had like padding? Almost had padding on like the chest and
it did.
It was, yeah.
That I've got one of those shirts. I'll have to bring it in.
Was it a Kappa shirt?
Yeah.
So it's a bit unique in that regard. And that would be my, probably like Six Nations shirt, the one that I'd like, apart from one up there, which is my first England shirt, which is the Centenario. That Italian, like iconic, almost like body padding, like that would be my favourite one.
Yeah, that was pretty good, that one, wasn't it? You're right. For me, Argentina, I like the Argentinian kit.
Yeah.
That's a nice kit. Do you ever swap shorts, by the way? Do you ever swap shorts?
No.
I swap shorts quite a bit because that was probably one thing you can actually wear.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? As in, if I swap shorts.
Yeah.
They're actually an item of clothing that if I went to the gym or whatever, you can actually wear and not feel an idiot. Where if you could never wear like your old England kit or your old Leicester kit or anything like that, but actually shorts is one thing. Yeah. Actually, I swap quite a lot of shorts actually, which is quite handy. Cole, have you ever been tempted to wear a scrum hat, mate? Was it more the fact that you have a large sized head? Do they not fit?
I tried wearing one when I was like 16, when I first started playing the front row. But yes, I've got quite a large head. It didn't really fit. And also I felt like choked me under here. So it's hard enough breathing at the best of times in my skin tight shirt. Never mind also giving it an assist with a choke. So no, I've never really worn it. Occasionally I would strap my head, pin my ears down just to basically stop them bleeding everywhere. But no, I've never really worn a scrum cap.
Padding sort of changed really, hasn't it?
Padding's gone in and out of the game. Like,
it has.
Like when I first...
It was huge.
I remember being about 16 and like literally guys having shoulder pads, like almost like American football pads, like massive things. And it was like the thing to do. And then in recent years, it's, some boys might, if they've got shoulder injuries, might wear a set of pads, but like no one really.
If I'm thinking of the lads now, I don't know. I can't think of anyone that actually wears shoulder pads.
No, that's what I mean. It's weird, isn't it? And then also we went through technology of like undershorts where you had like cycling shorts with like American football, like thigh pads and.
Yeah, that's right. They did. They sort of phased out as well. Yeah. Gloves. Gloves was a thing. Gloves was a big thing for quite a while, actually.
Do you ever wear gloves?
When it's especially cold, I wear gloves. So in training, I am known to whip on a pair of gloves.
I know
that
gloves work for like, but I remember gloves used to be like bright orange, didn't they? Obviously for sponsorship reasons, but it was all right in the backs for catching and passing. But forwards, I remember distinctively sitting at the back of the stand at Leicester when I was about 15 and watching. I'm pretty sure it was Ben Kay because he used to wear orange gloves, and he made a tackle and he just held on to the ball. Illegally, not rolling away, holding the ball. It was like, referee was like, yeah, orange gloves, mate, slowing the release. It was like, what? It happened every week. I think for forwards, if you had your hands on the ball and stuff, it became so obvious that it kind of didn't really work.
No, all that stuff's phased. Like, no one wears gloves. Not that I can think of right now.
Do you wear a gum shield?
I do wear a gum shield, yeah. Yeah, I do.
No, that's one thing I wear one, but I also wear one in, like, training and in sometimes, you know, we do, like, a walkthrough. I'll often put a gum shield in them because the only time I've really chipped my teeth, and I must have been quite young, but it was like, oh, this bit's a walk, lads, this bit's a walk. So I took my gum shield out. It was me and Julian White, and we were defending. It was Sam Vesti, and they told him, like, step in between us. And Vesti stepped in between us, and me and Whitey, so I hit him on the shoulder. Whitey swung around, clunked on top of my head, and I literally just spitting out broken teeth. You don't want to seem soft, but you literally, like, running your tongue over your teeth, and you're like, oh, my God, I've taken mountains out of my teeth. There's, like, tiny chips. But so ever since then, I've, like, I insist on wearing a gum shield. A bit naughty, but...
I know, it's a bit like what happened to Fodes, Ben Foden, with his veneers,
with
and they fell
teeth
out.
I think we were on tour in South Africa, weren't we? It was happening. I think he was having his teeth. It was in the process, and there was like a temporary set. I think he's had his teeth like filed down, and they put like a temporary set of like veneers just for the tour. Because I think he was after the tour.
After tour, getting
he was
done.
Having his proper fake teeth installed. Problem was, they came loose, didn't they? They literally came off 2 weeks into this tour,
and he looked like a vampire because basically had grinded down teeth. But some people don't wear gum shields, do they?
No, well, a lot of boys have to talk. Find sort of tens and stuff. Forwards, I think line out callers do and don't, because you have to take it in and out and in and out, and like some blokes just don't. Interesting enough, in this Six Nations, it's the first one with basically gum shields now got microchips in them, and it's mandatory to wear, because if you have a HIA in the game, so if you get a head collision and the doctor takes you off, if you've got the microchip in it, you can then go through the testing protocol and then return to play. But if you don't have the microchip, the doctor will take you off and that's you done for the day.
It's really clever, actually.
As I say, the technology's moved on, because I remember the first time they did it, they stuck it in a gum shield, and this gum shield was the fattest thing.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't close your mouth, and you couldn't speak, and it was used to gag.
It was like, you know when you get, for those people that have gone to a dentist and had a special gum shield actually moulded?
Yes.
You know when they open it up and they put that, like the plastic,
put the mould in,
that's basically what it was like running around with that in.
Oh.
So that was not a goer.
Obviously, again, with a lot of stuff that, because they need more people to use it, a lot of technology we've seen is like to make it wearable, that people are comfortable wearing it. So I think the gum shields have reduced down in size, and it'd be interesting where like technology goes, because I remember a few years ago talking about like having pressure sensors in players' boots, so you could feel like, say, scrummaging, the forces there, and when transmitting through tackles and stuff like that, the forces being transmitted, because obviously GPS will give you a certain amount of like acceleration, deacceleration stuff, but the actual, you don't know how much pressure is going through things. So it'd be interesting in future years where technology, where it goes to, and what you can do with it.
Do you reckon, obviously the cricket lads, they sometimes get mic'd up, don't they?
Mine would be a lot of heavy breathing.
Fucking hell, lads. This is quick, isn't it?
Mine probably wouldn't be the best. Coley, run.
Yeah, no, you just hear that in the background.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, move. And every shirt now has like a little GPS pouch. For a lot of people, when they see us running around, they'll see this like weird little box almost in the back of our necks. So all our shirts now has this little pouch, and this little GPS unit goes into the back of this pouch. And this tracks your movement, your speed, your meterage.
Collisions, the acceleration, decelerations into contact. There are some people still wear like the bra, which I think you'll see sometimes you see people training, or footballs wear them, don't you? And you sometimes stick the bra over the top of their training gear. But some blokes wear them, but a lot of rugby teams, most rugby kits, I've never worn one, but like you want it sort of in the back of the shirt, on the back of the neck.
Yeah, you just wear a GPS
funny bump
unit
that you see.
We've covered quite a bit there about kit and stuff.
Yes, man.
Coley, have all the kits. You can only save one shirt. What one are you saving? I was going to say a fire, but I don't wish that upon anyone.
For one kit, I would say it would be my first England cap. Obviously, there's a lot of shirts in there, but I think that one means a lot. I mean, you've got a 100th one as well, which would be you'd want to save. But I think because it's probably that iconic. It's a one-off kit, so I think that's always going to be special to me. So that's the one I'd have. What about you?
I don't know where my first cap shirt is. I'm pretty sure it's at Mum and Dad's, I hope. So on this rack here, I would take my 100th and I would run with it.
For the love of rugby.
If you want to drop us a line, get involved with our socials.
Just search for @loveofrugby. And if you've listened to all our episodes and need another podcast, go and find Joe Marler's Things People Do. For the Love of Rugby is ad-free on Amazon Music. If you listen on Apple, you can get it ad-free for £1 a week.
See you next time.
Podcast Network.